Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18. That's where Brother Jonathan was reading a little bit ago. Let's look at verse 4. That's going to be our text verse this morning. 2 Kings chapter 18. Verse 4. The Bible says this: He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And notice his statement, and he called it Nehushtan. Nehushtan. We're going to talk about that word a little bit this morning. And we're going to talk about these portions of scripture that was read. And so once again, he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. Let's pray, and then you may be, I guess you already are seated, aren't you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, to bless this time now, this morning, Father. Bless the preaching of the Word of God. Fill me with your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord God. Use me now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. I want to speak to you this morning about this subject. Groves of garbage, or high places and groves of garbage, maybe we could even say. And I'll start out with a little story illustration here to get the sermon going. But in the city of Rome, in one of the churches there, there's what's called the Sacred Stairs. They never walk up those stairs, by the way. The only way they go up those stairs is by crawling up those stairs. You're not allowed to walk up those stairs. You have to crawl up them on your knees. Now, the stairs are in the center of the church. And when you get to the top, you can walk down either of the two flights of stairs that are on one side or the other of these sacred stairs. And so you can walk down then on those stairs only. And so there was this wall then that was confining the people on the stairs going up. And the stairs in the middle are the ones which the people are crawling up, if you can picture that in your mind. Some of you are probably familiar with what I'm talking about. I don't know if anybody here has been there, but maybe you've seen it. And so they crawl up those stairs. Now, what are they doing by crawling up those middle stairs? I'll tell you what they're doing. They're doing what they call doing penance for their sins. Doing penance for their sins. Now, I've seen video footage in the past of people on these stairs crawling up them, and I have seen old ladies on these videos before. I mean, when I say old, I mean like old and feeble, like Ed Fall. Old and feeble old ladies. Just you know, barely able to stand up type of elderly ladies crawling up these stairs, crawling one step at a time. Wait, they take a step, count some beads. Take another step, count some beads. Typically probably make the sign of the cross on themselves. And count some beads, make the sign of a cross, take another step. All the way up to the top, they keep doing that. They keep doing that. They keep doing that. And what are they doing? They're supposed to be making penance for their sins, is what they say. Now, it was on those very steps that history records that Martin Luther knelt. His favorite verse was, "Now the just shall live by faith," Hebrews 10:38. One day while he was climbing those stairs, he was doing this supposed penance for his sins. And Martin Luther began to quote the scripture to himself, "The just shall live by faith." And he kept saying, "The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith." As he kept going up another step, he kept going up another step, he kept saying it. He kept crawling up another step, he kept saying it. "The just shall live by faith." And then finally he screamed, "The just shall live by faith. Then why am I doing penance for all of this when Christ has already paid all of my penalty for my sin?" He knew that Christ had paid his penance. He knew that Christ had paid for his sins. And that day, Martin Luther got up off his knees, and the Reformation period of history began at that time. People began to come out of Catholicism at that time by the thousands and tens of thousands. Not only did they come out, but they wanted to burn all the bridges that were behind them. So what they did as they came out is they took some of the relics that they had, the idols, the images, so forth, and they did irreverence to them on purpose because they were trying to burn the bridge behind them. They would take these idols or these statues, they would burn them. They would melt them, they would destroy them, they would ground them to powder, whatever needed to be done. They took vats and containers which they had used to keep the quote-unquote holy water, and they figured out other uses for them. They were so infuriated by the lie of holy water, the heresy that it was, that sometimes they would even take those containers and take them out and turn them into hog troughs. Why? To do irreverence to them. I'm not saying that was necessary. I'm just saying that's what they did. The hogs would eat and wallow in the slop of the very vats that had contained their quote-unquote holy water before. They took the bells that the priests had worn and they would put them around the necks of horses and donkeys. They would take the linen garments that the priests would wear and they'd make undergarments out of them for the poor people that didn't have any. They took the bees that they used to count and they would put them around the necks of dogs. So zealous were they, these reformers, that they wanted to burn every bridge that was behind them. They wanted to, they were just ridiculing the things that they had trusted in before as a part of their salvation process. They wanted to go by the just shall live by faith, as the Bible says. Now in the book of 2 Kings this morning, in our story, Hezekiah was a righteous king. And he had come to the throne. He led in a great revival, amen. We talked a little bit about that the other day in a message we had, especially in chapter 19, but we talked a little bit in chapter 18. And he had a wonderful revival, and in every way, in every shape. I mean, the Jews had had a revival in just about every way you can think of underneath Hezekiah when he came to power. And they hadn't probably had much greater revivals except maybe when Josiah was king, but they had one of the greatest revivals they ever had. And they were doing some similar things as to what Martin Luther did, of course, many, many, many years after them. But they were doing similar things. They were getting rid of some old relics and things like that. And Hezekiah went around when he became king, and he started taking down what they would call the high places. So what's a high place, preacher? Well, it's a... I'll tell you what, a high place is a grove, too, because there are high places and groves. But he took the high places, and I'll tell you what it is in just a second, but he'd take the groves also, he'd burn them. And what had happened is God had placed a temple in Jerusalem. And that was the one place where God came and met. Back in those days, he didn't indwell. Today, he indwells the believer. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you've been saved, you've been born again, washed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Guess what you got? You got the Holy Spirit in you, too. That's the temple of God, is our bodies now. So God doesn't come dwell in a building place like this. This is just a church house where we meet at. But the church is the people, not the building. But back in those days, they had a temple. And God would come and meet at that place, and it was in Jerusalem. And it was the one high place where God met with his people. But the Jews wanted to have something else. So what they would do is they would go out and they would find a high spot somewhere that was a high place. And they would create a high place there. It was a high spot, and they would take it, maybe it was on a rock or some elevated area, but they would take and they would build an altar there, and they would put an idol there with that altar. And thus it would make it into what they would call a high place. And then the grove, every time they would find some little clump of trees or area that they felt they could turn into a grove. Some of them were made very beautifully. They would decorate them and so forth, trim them, hedge them out, so forth, things. But it was basically a clump of trees area where they could find a spot maybe where the middle was open and they could put an altar there and they could put an idol there too. And that became the grove. And so they would do that both on the elevated places, they would call them high places, and then the clumps of trees, the groves, and those would be the groves there. So the high places and the groves they would have. And they would have idols there, and they would have altars to burn incense there to them, and sacrifices and so forth. So this was in contrast then to God's command that they should come and worship where? Just one place. Where was that, do you suppose? Jerusalem, right? Yeah, the temple. Are you awake? All right, I hope so. The temple. That was in contrast, though, what they were doing. They built high places, they built groves, and it was opposite of what God had told them to do. So what did they want to do? They wanted to confine God to another place, to a high place, to some grove somewhere, a clump of trees, and they wanted to try to make that the place where they could come and meet with God, but that wasn't what God had told them to do. They weren't supposed to have those places. Now Hezekiah came along. What did he do? He tore them down. He burned the high places and the groves. He burned the altars. He ground in the powder. The Bible says they had what they called a teraphim, which is nothing more than an idol inside a high place or a grove. He'd take the teraphims and he'd ground them to powder, the Bible says. He'd destroy them. Get rid of them. So he broke the high places, destroyed the groves. But there was one special place that was difficult for him to destroy because it was so precious to the people. It was different than all the other places a little bit, but it was still a problem. This place, if you recall the story, by the way, in the book of Numbers of the brazen serpent. The Jews had been rebellious and got bit by fiery serpents. Then comes along Moses and intercedes for them, of course a long time before Hezekiah's day, and he intercedes for them on their behalf to God, and God tells him, here's what you do. You get your pole, get your, form you a brass serpent, a brazen serpent, shape of a serpent, put it on top of that pole, and you lift it up high where everybody can see it. And then those who have been bitten can come and they can look and behold the serpent and be saved from being killed because of the poison that you were bitten with. That's what God told him to do back in Numbers. And that's what Moses did. By the way, beautiful, we won't go into that for time's sake today, but beautiful story of salvation there, amen. We're bit by the fiery serpent of sin, amen. And we behold Jesus Christ in the cross, amen, by accepting him as our Savior, amen. Then we're healed from our sin by it, amen. Same concept. And that's part of what God was teaching there. But these people, if they beheld the serpent, they'd be saved from that poisonous bite that they had had. In fact, Jesus even used the example of it when he talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Let me read you verses 14 and 15 just quickly. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the serpent was lifted up high. Those that were bitten looked on it, beheld. They'd be okay. They'd be saved. And so that was the concept. Now the Jews had kept that brazen serpent for almost 800 years. They had a little piece of brass and had put it in a high place. And this turned out to be one of the most revered high places that they ever had. It was a place that was kept apart from the others, but it was something also that had become something that was never intended by God to become. Truthfully, it had outlived its usefulness a long time ago. But they kept this as a special high place. And so next to the temple itself, it was the most special and precious high place that they had, an 800-year-old brazen serpent on which their forefathers had looked and lived. And they wanted to keep it as a memorial, so to speak, but the problem is they started worshiping that brazen serpent. The Bible says even burning incense to it. When Hezekiah became king and he led the great revival, he tore down all the high places and the groves and he burned all the teraphims and he decided, hey, I'm going to go after that brazen serpent. He said, that place is a high place outside of Jerusalem, and God says that Jerusalem at the temple is the only place where they're supposed to come and meet with me. That's supposed to be the only high place. It's got idol worship going on there with that brazen serpent. I'm going after it. I'm going to take it down. I'm going to destroy it. He told him he was. The Israelites said, no, don't destroy that. That's one of the holiest things we have. It's one of the most sacred things we have, Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, wait, it's an idol. It must be destroyed because it's an idol. Hezekiah took that 800-year-old relic and he ground it to powder, the Bible says, and when he did, he cried in their language, Nehushtan, which means garbage, garbage, garbage. People couldn't believe it. They said, what do you mean garbage? Hezekiah said, it has surpassed its usefulness. It's become an idol and nothing shall come between the heart of man and the heart of God. You are to worship the true God in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. God gives us a place where he wants us to be, or God wants us at a place where he wants us to be drawn to his heart and his heart only. And he doesn't want anything to come in the way, and not even an old 800-year-old historic relic that's become an idol of a brazen serpent that God once used in Moses' day. God didn't want it. That's why I can't give that up. That's too special. We can't give that up. That's too precious to us. We've got to have this. Hezekiah said, no. No, you don't have to have it. You don't have to keep it. It's not necessary. It's not necessary is what he said. He decided it was time for it to go and get rid of it. Oh, that God might give us some kings and presidents today that would destroy the high places like Hezekiah of old did. Amen. Hezekiah said, it's garbage. Somebody heard that and said, but I've been worshiping that shrine all these years, Hezekiah. Hezekiah said, it's garbage. Somebody else said, that's my place of worship. I have looked at that brazen serpent every week for the last 50 years. Hezekiah said, but it's garbage. It's garbage. Hezekiah said, garbage. Another Israelite said, oh, but Hezekiah, my family has always worshipped at this place. Hezekiah said, but it's garbage. In the first place, there was not to be a high place apart from the one at Jerusalem. Amen. In the second place, there was to be no groves apart from the holy spot of the temple site in Jerusalem. In the third place, nothing's supposed to be the object of our worship apart from the Lord God himself. That is why Jesus said to the woman at the well, beside the well, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him in John 4:23. That's why you don't see a St. Christopher's medal at Lincoln Baptist Church this morning. Amen. By the way, the sign said Baptist when you came in, not Catholic. Amen. So why is that? God says it's garbage. That's why. It's an idol. It's an idol. Not supposed to have any idols. Amen. That's why you don't see any holy water when you came in here this morning. Amen. You come in the front door this morning, there wouldn't have had a holy water anywhere. Say, why, preacher? Because it's garbage. What am I saying? I'm saying that the thing which becomes the object of your worship should be taken away. As far as your salvation is concerned, you ought to heed the admonition of the man of God of old, amen, and take down those high places in your heart. Anything that comes between your heart and God's heart is garbage. Nehushtan. It's garbage. Oh, folks, I know. I've been here over 10 years now. I've made some enemies over these years because I preach that Jesus only saves. Amen. I'm sure I've been roasted for supper many times. Amen. And eaten probably over a few dinner tables in this city these last 10 years over it. Because here's what this. Well, Pastor Painter's criticizing some other church or some other religion. Oh, not really. What I'm doing is standing for truth. And criticizing those who are telling lies. Being a good person doesn't get anybody to heaven any more than burning incense to Buddha does. You go ahead, most of you say, yeah, you shouldn't burn incense to Buddha, but you know what? Saying I got to be a good person to get to heaven ain't no different. It's still an idol. It's still an idol. It's Nehushtan. It's garbage. It's garbage. It's garbage. Many a times people have gotten upset. But remember, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Faith in what, folks? How about Christ? Amen. Christ. Now, I must stand for truth. I must. If somebody gets up and says, I can absolve your sins for you, I have to stand up like Hezekiah did and say, folks, that's garbage. It's garbage. It's not true. If somebody says, come to my church and take communion, you will go to heaven, I have to stand up like Hezekiah of old said and say that that's garbage. That's garbage. If somebody says, let me sprinkle you with some water and that'll get you to heaven, I have to stand up like Hezekiah did and say, that's garbage. That's garbage. I have to stand for truth and right. Amen. You don't go to a doctor and expect to hear lies. Why do you want to come to church and hear lies? If some Mormon comes by and tells you that the teachings of Joseph Smith is the way to heaven, I have to stand up like Hezekiah of old and say, that's garbage, that's garbage, that's garbage. And if somebody comes by, and they got the big convention in town today, you know, and says, let me give you a Watchtower magazine and you can read the truth about the life after, I have to stand up like Hezekiah of old and say, that's garbage, it's garbage, it's garbage, Nehushtan, it's garbage. Like Hezekiah did, I want to pull down those idols and relics and high places as substitute for faith in the living Christ and salvation through him. When you stand before God, your beads and your idols won't matter a thing. The only thing that will matter is if you had a moment in time that you accepted Jesus in your heart as your personal Savior. Anything outside of Christ is garbage. Anything is garbage outside of Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Either Jesus is a liar or they're a liar. You tell me. I'm going with Jesus. He's not the one lying. He's telling the truth. He said he was the only way. Ladies and gentlemen, the day is going to come sooner or later, probably sooner than you realize, when preachers like me, who say Jesus is the only way, will be persecuted more and more and hated more and more. Will be lied about and fought against more and more by the religious good works crowd and their ecumenical organizations. Say, why, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because the devil likes to use that method of attack to distract from the truth and from the person of Jesus Christ. You won't see any idols when you come into this church building. Why, preacher? I'll tell you why. Because nothing apart from Jesus Christ can save you. Hezekiah shouted the word Nehushtan. The word Nehushtan simply means brazen garbage. It's just a hunk of tin. It's garbage. Hunk of copper, hunk of brass. It's brazen garbage. It's garbage. It's all garbage. It's garbage. You need to throw it away if you have some of it in your life. Throw it out. Throw it away. It's important to realize that, folks. This day and age we live in, it's an unpopular thing. Oh, we want everybody to get along, everybody to hold hands. That sounds great, folks. I'm all for that. But we got to do it in the truth of Jesus Christ as our Savior. If somebody's promoting something other than Jesus, that's a lie, and they're going to go to hell. So I've got to say, listen, it's Jesus only. That's the only way to get to heaven. That's what he himself said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You cannot get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ as your Savior. The great need of this nation and the great need of the hearts of the people is to take the idols down. Take the worship centers down. Take the false altars down. Take down anything that people say will help them get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ, because it's garbage. It must be thrown away. You must be born again, as Jesus said. And that's through faith in Christ. Take the matter of baptism this morning. Baptism is a wonderful thing. I love to baptize folks. There have been a few times I've baptized so many people that my hands have gotten wrinkled. Amen. One time in Houston during one of our Pentecost weekends, I baptized 200 people in a matter of a couple of hours. Had a sore back the next day. Amen. Baptized them in a horse trough. But I tell you what, folks, it's not a substitute and it's not a part of salvation. All it is a symbol. It's a symbol. I wear a wedding ring. It's a symbol of my love for my wife. But it didn't make me married. I got married, then I put the symbol on. Baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It shows on the outside what happened in your heart when you accepted Christ and your Savior. It's like an X-ray. It shows what's on the inside through the outside. Baptism is great, but it doesn't save anybody. Folks, even if it's this baptistry tank right back here, if it starts to be used in that manner for works for salvation, it ought to be ground into powder. It ought to be called Nehushtan. Garbage baptistry. As long as that brazen serpent was a museum piece, it was okay. But once they transferred it to an object of worship and started burning incense to it, became a part of saving faith, it became garbage and had to be destroyed. This morning, if you're trusting your salvation to some water baptism, it's garbage. You need to get rid of it. This morning, if you're trusting in some confirmation time to get to heaven and not being born again through faith in Christ, it's garbage. You ought to get rid of it. You ought to get rid of it. You ought to get rid of it. This morning, if you're trusting in whatever it is, if you're trusting in church, even this church membership, it's garbage. Whether this church or any other, this church can't get you to heaven, neither can any other church in this town get you to heaven. It's only Jesus Christ that can get you to heaven. By the way, pity those people that bow down to some fat Buddha and burn incense to that thing, because that's garbage too. It's garbage, garbage, garbage. Yet there's a lot of people in the world do that. I wish that they knew the truth and could be set free. In fact, it is truly no worse than Catholics who bow down to their idols also. They bow down to their idols. They have idol worship too. That's why they changed the Ten Commandments, you know. Exodus 24 that says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. They took that commandment out and changed it. It's because it doesn't fit with what they do. They got a lot of idol worship going on. So what is that, preacher? It's Nehushtan. It's garbage. And I'm not mad at them, but I want them to be saved, amen. But as long as they're trusting and bowing down and kissing somebody's big toe and bowing down and kissing some idol, they ain't going to heaven that way. As long as they're trusting in some confessional booth to some man who needs to get that right and confess his own sins, they're not going to go to heaven that way. They're not going to heaven that way. By the way, you don't find any other stuff they do in this book right here. So, well, I think we can find some of it in the Catholic Bible. Hey, you know what the Catholic Bible is? It's a King James Bible with the Apocrypha books added. Why would they add those? Try to help them out a little bit, that's why. But there isn't any truth in those Apocrypha books. But you get your old-fashioned King James Bible and you won't find any other system. You won't find the nunneries, you won't find the monks, you won't find any of that business in there. The only priest you find in that book right there is the Old Testament priest, and they were doing animal sacrifices. They weren't doing what these guys are doing. Running around in black outfits with backwards collars, having people call them father, and going into confessional booths and confessing things that ought to be better confessed on your knees before God. It's not doing them any good without Christ. By the way, he's the high priest, amen. He's the intercessor between me and God. I've got to go to Jesus, amen. I love the Lord's Supper, folks. I think it's a great time of remembrance. However, I think it's a tragedy when someone makes it a part of salvation. It's only symbolic. It does not save. A symbol never saves. It is only the picture of the actual act itself. When someone thinks that partaking in it helps them get to heaven, that's nehushtan. It's garbage. Garbage. I love church. I love going to church. After I got right with God in 1996, it became the highlight of my life for me and my wife. I enjoy every service that we've gone to. In fact, we still do enjoy it. Amen. We enjoy coming early, leaving late, because it's a little piece of heaven to us. However, when someone takes church attendance and makes it a part of salvation, thinking it's necessary to get them to heaven, say, what is that, preacher? Nehushtan. Garbage. That's garbage. Going to this church or any other church isn't going to get anybody to heaven. Not whatsoever. You can come here from now until the day you die, and you'll still die and go to hell if you don't come to Christ. Listen to me. I've said that 1,000 times before. It isn't baptism. It isn't the Lord's Supper. It isn't church attendance here or any other church. It isn't any special prayer that's chanted. It isn't any special verses that are memorized. It is faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone to get you to heaven. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've quoted that verse several times already. It isn't a confessional booth. It isn't any sacraments. It isn't any deep knee bends down the aisle. It isn't any idols. It isn't even a sacred cow anywhere. All that is nehushtan, and it's rot and garbage, and that stuff is going to go by the wayside. It's not going to be good for nothing. As Martin Luther once said, and I quote, I once thought the Pope was the vicar of Christ, and now I say he's the vicar of hell. Martin Luther lay dying. He could barely be heard. And just a whisper came through his lips. And folks had watched Martin Luther for years. He made an unusual and spectacular break from the Catholic Church in the Reformation time. And many people watched him through these years. And they watched him as he was dying. One of his closest friends was by his bedside. And they asked Martin Luther if he was sorry for what he had done to the Catholic Church. And he answered, no. Amen. They asked him if he was going to die the same faith by which he lived, and he answered, the just shall live by faith. I die in the same faith that I lived in. Folks, anything else is garbage. Let's stand to our feet. It's garbage. What are you trusting in this morning to get you to heaven? What idols do you have in your life? I hope none. But if you have some, you ought to get rid of them. If you're trusting anything other than Jesus, you ought to get born again this morning. Whatever it is that you're trusting in, heads bowed, eyes closed,